We need to get started. Welcome to Friends Day at Harvest Worship Center. Something, when all my friends come to church, it's hard to know who to invite. But today is Friends Day. We'll have a Thanksgiving meal right after because we're grateful for our friendship. We're grateful for the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, I have a couple of announcements. Please listen. This Wednesday is the deadline for the shoeboxes for kids, and I do have a contribution for you guys on that, so please see me after service. If you want to give money or do anything particular, Wednesday, if you want to, yes, in the basement. Okay, gotcha. I gotcha. Okay, they'll be right in front of the kitchen right there setting up the shoe boxes. Yes, start around 7, and it won't take long if everybody comes and helps. That's a fun thing to do on Wednesday night, amen? So help with that. Parents, remember to bring your kids, as you know, for practice. Hallelujah. The chicken chili sale for the Roar. Don't forget the sign-up sheet in back. That's going to be November the 9th, so that's this Saturday. So we need to be signing up if you want that. Sheree is holding a toy drive. I was able to put a few toys out there, but I'm going to get some more. But leave them unwrapped because they're going to the children in Appalachia and Western North Carolina. So leave them unwrapped so we'll know what age-appropriate gift to give. Sunday, December the 1st, is our Jingle Mingle. Everybody likes the Jingle Mingle, amen? Sign-up sheets in the back. Yes, ma'am. Sign-up sheets in the back. December the 7th is our Divas Meeting. Fellowship, ladies. Come on out. We need you. We love seeing the regulars, but we want to see every lady at these Jingle Mingle. And if you'll bring a gift of $5, no more than 10 in value, for a secret Santa, we're going to just, you know, have a little fun with that. So that'll be good. The children's program will be Sunday, December the 22nd at 10:30. And don't forget our food pantry. You know the items we need, dried beans, canned things, boxed pastas, boxed cereals. Think of the children, personal hygiene items for kids, maybe in adults. But you can see Van Rowe on that if you need to anything particulars on that. Okay, I think I did it quickly, so stand with me. Didn't sound quite as good as Dolly, but I tried to rush through it. Amen. She gets our attention with her diction. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to call on your name this morning. We thank you, God, for Friends Day, and I thank you for all that have chose to come and worship you this Sunday. Lord, the time is near, Father God. The time is at hand. It's time to be awake and about the Father's business. I pray, God, for this coming Tuesday for our election. God, that those would feel moved and motivated if they have not already voted, that they would get out and vote. Father God, Tuesday. Father God, help us in this nation. We need you, Lord. We need you. Father, we are not dependent on any man or any woman. We know where the power and the authority lies. But Father, we also know it's our civic duty to go and cast that vote. And we ask God that everyone feel convicted and compelled, especially the body of Christ. God, have mercy upon us and awake us. Awake, awake, thou that sleepest. And Christ will give you hope. I thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning. And everybody said, amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. Oh, now your mercy saves.
for this.
Oh yeah.
I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my
to sing a song of celebration today. Somebody give Jesus some praise. Come on.
Yes, Lord.
Sing a song of celebration. Lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come. The glorious one.
church. I've been watching you. Some of you are really entering in worship. Some of you don't have a clue what we're singing about. Some of you are being real rude and real disrespectful to Holy Spirit right now. And I'm calling you on the carpet about it. Stop talking and start worshiping. That's what we're here for.
Yes.
We'll talk at the meal, the fellowship meal. But right now, hey, let's give him some glory. Let's give him some honor. Come on, you've been taught better than this. Let's respect the Lord in his house this morning. This is a holy place. This is a place where we gather so that the manifestation of the Spirit of God can come, so that if you need healing, you may receive it. So that if your loved one needs salvation, they may get it. So that a deliverance can go out these doors, it shall happen. There is a time and a place for everything, Ecclesiastes says. It is a time to worship the Son of God. Do you not understand that one day we shall walk on the streets of gold because of this Savior? I'm asking you to let's do a redo and let's sing that chorus again. But let's cut the chatter and let's worship the King. How about it? Hallelujah!
We will dance on streets that are golden, the glorious Lord and the great Son of Man. See the Lord and his train fills the temple. I see the Lord and he is high and lifted up. I see the Lord and His train fills the temple. I see the Lord and He is high and lifted. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. I see the Lord.
The Lord,
I cry, holy. whom shall I send? And I answer him,
yes.
I will go for you.
To God. Can we just give him some praise this morning? Praise. Lift your hands up and give him praise. Lord, we love you. We praise you this morning. We praise you. We praise you. And I want to tell you, church, you know I love you guys. Not here to try to make anybody mad. And if a rebuke in praise and worship makes you mad, then you need to check really inside your heart. Because see, when we start singing about the streets of gold, and I think about a Savior that paid that price, I just can't dilly-dally in God's house. Because when I sing these songs, I'm praying them to the Lord. I know you are. I'm thinking about what I'm singing. This isn't a 20-minute block just to take up some space so that then we can receive a good offering and then the pastor does a word and then we go eat. No. That's not how we do things around here. I consider praise and worship a holy time.
Yes, amen.
I consider the people on this platform very accountable to the way they live. And if you question anything, you come to Pastor and I about anybody up on this stage. I consider this platform to be very holy. I consider the people to be on it to live straight. And I hold you accountable to hold us accountable to do that. Because this is a holy atmosphere. Amen? So anyway, just remember that. Every time we gather in praise and worship, if it's a lighthearted song, I get that. We joyfully. But when we're really talking about some of the serious things of God in our worship, hey, let's focus in. It's time to. I don't know if you realize it, but we're living in the last days.
Right. Yes.
That's obvious. It's obvious to me by church attendance. It's obvious to me when I talk to other pastors. COVID wrecked some churches. Some never recovered. Some never opened back up. But they should have never closed. But they never opened back up. Isn't that sad? Never opened back up because people thought, it's really not necessary that I go to the house of God. I can just stream something online. Yeah, you can stream a whole lot online and get so messed up in your soul that you don't know what the Bible even says. The Bible says, know those that labor among you in the Lord. I don't have much use for people that, well, I felt led this morning to go here. I just got up and felt led to run over here. That is bull to me. God plants you in a place and he expects you to be there. Amen. And if you're not going to be there, you have to tell someone. And that's a good time for me to tell you, next Sunday we won't be here. Next Sunday, we won't be here. Thank God. My sister and me, we're going to be celebrating our birthdays, and we're getting together with family, and I need a break. Someone say amen. Pastor needs a break. I have to make him stop. I know. Dear God, help us. Brother Hughes, Kenneth, Marlene will be ministering next Sunday morning, in case you're wondering. But we will be, yes, amen. We will be here Tuesday for prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is an important service. I had someone say, you know, the thing I hate most about missing church is I miss prayer meetings. If I'm sick and can't come to a prayer meeting, I said, you're coming to the best service of all. Prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays. Folks, we're in the middle of an election season that's going to rock this generation one way or the other. I don't think you understand. Yeah, prayer meetings are powerful. 6 o'clock, 6 to 7. Well, you can come at 7 if you want to. We'll keep the doors open. 6 to 7. 7 o'clock Bible study on Wednesday night. We'll be here for that too. Some of you have just dropped Wednesday night completely off your list. You're just Sunday morning Christians now. And you know what? Pastor and I love you, and just deal with it. I'm just telling you the truth. Some of you, I never know if you're going to be here or not. Shouldn't be that way with leaders, folks. David, I hate that you have to preach after top of this.
It's all right.
Anyhow, hey, you guys may be seated. Ushers, you can come. Let's
thought of me.
above
Pastor David Coleman here. So glad that you've tuned in today to watch this service. I have a message to preach today called Witnesses. You know, that's what we are. Jesus has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he has promised that he'll go with us to confirm the word with signs following. So today, get your Bible. We're going into that service. God has something special for your life today. I believe you're going to be strengthened and stirred up to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Let's go into that service right now.
One verse, one powerful verse. And it is good to see you in God's house this morning. Amen. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. I've been in the hospital. I don't like that. Amen. Don't care about that. Just wished I could go in and clean it all out. Wouldn't that be nice? Just walk in the front doors and say, everybody be healed. And everybody get up and walk out of the hospital. Put the hospital out of business. Or the nursing home, either one. Wouldn't that be awesome? Glory to God. Amen. God is good. All the time. Yes, he is. Matthew 24, verse number 14. Matthew 24, verse number 14. And the Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Everybody wants to know when the end is going to come. This is when it's going to come. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? In all the world, in all the world, why? For a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. Well, Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, that you will not alter, you won't change it. We thank you for it today, and we ask you right now to come and give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Holy Spirit, help us to be sensitive to you. Lord God in heaven, right now, we ask you to touch every heart and every life. Let us be tuned in totally and absolutely to you. Your presence, your power, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. None of us would argue today that we are living in the last days. I mean, you'd have to be a complete idiot to not know that we're living in the last days. And I don't think that anybody here would argue that we are living in Isaiah 61, darkness covering the earth, gross darkness, the people. This darkness that is upon people like a dense fog. Isn't it amazing that you can talk to people and you can tell them about Jesus and you can talk about the condition of the world and it's almost like they don't get it. They can't put two and two together. They don't understand that at any moment the trumpet could sound. We could leave this earth. Listen to me. Like a dense fog, it's keeping sinners in fetters and chains of iron. I think about that scripture today because I believe that the believer should have ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to perceive and to understand. I believe that we should be sensitive to the Spirit of God. But the world, everybody say the world is in this dense darkness. Dense darkness. You have people that are marching the streets of our nation. You can ask them about an election. I was listening the other day and they were asking people, says, you know, tell me what Marxism is. But still and yet they call a certain individual a Marxist. And then you can ask them to divine, you know, well, when does life start? Nobody can tell you when life starts. God does. We have lots of issues at hand in the world in which we live. It seems like nobody can define what gender is, but God is. Somebody say there's male and female. Male and female. No in between, no other. Not the other 70, not the hundreds that some people would claim, but just two genders. Male and female. The lines are blurred. And I want you to listen to me this morning because God's going to speak to your heart. See, I don't think that anyone would argue today that what we really need is a supernatural intervention from heaven to reach the world in which we live, to reach our sons and daughters, and I would say to probably reach people within the body of believers so that they can be shaken by the presence and the power of Almighty God. Amen. Yet people in church today that do not believe like they used to believe. They trend toward what the world says and what the world believes. You know why? That's because they don't spend time in this or in the house of God. You've got to know what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what the PhD says. It doesn't matter what anyone says that you see on TV. What matters is what God said. And I'm not going to know what God said unless I'm reading what he said. And then if some preacher gets up and tells me something that's wrong, then I'll know that. Amen? Amen. Jesus in Matthew 24 begins his discourse, and we have heard this. He's speaking of the end times, and we know it very well. We've heard it dozens of times, and I preach it often. In the Bible, when it begins to speak of the last days and of all that would take place, the Greek language here, I want you to understand, why do we preach on the end? Because the Bible commands us as the fivefold ministry to preach the coming of Christ, the end times, and to do it often. And I think I understand that now. Better than I ever have in life because I'm saying the saints need it. I appreciate everybody that shouted 10 years ago and 15 years ago and 30 years ago and 50 years ago. I appreciate everybody that could walk aisles of the chairs, the swing from the chandeliers. But I'm going to tell you what we need now. We need to get on the ground and walk straight in Jesus' name and have the power of God in our lives. To believe what the Bible says. And not trend in another direction just because the world says so. So in the Bible, when it begins to speak of the last days and of all that will be taking place, it's like his disciples when they came to him and they said, Lord, tell us, when shall these things be? And he's talking about the temple coming down. We know that that happened in AD 70. That temple was torn down. He said, when shall this be? What shall be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answers to them and says these words. And listen, this is what we need to hear more than anything else. Take heed. Everybody say, take heed. Take heed. That means really listen to what's getting ready to be said. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying that I am Christ and shall deceive many. Then Jesus begins his list of signs as he's giving to his disciples and speaking to them about the nearness of the end. See, we have to be careful in this hour not to allow the repetitiveness of the end time message to cause us to become indifferent and cold to it. Because this is our attitude. We get lackadaisical. We say, I've heard that before. But if we really heard it, what would we do if we knew Jesus was coming in 10 minutes? Some of you break a neck to get home and clean your house out. Some of you would have to clean the trunk of your car out. Out from under your mattress, you'd have to fall into the altar and begin to repent because things change drastically when you really believe. Somebody say, believe. When you really believe, If Jesus is coming, if I believe that he's coming in 10 minutes, my God, I can say I don't think I'd change anything right now. Thank God. But listen to me. We have to be careful not to allow us ourselves to grow cold or indifferent to hearing this message. This is important because, saying things like I've always heard it. And so Jesus says this. He says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for the end is not yet. Are you listening? All of these things must come to pass, talking about the wars and the rumors of wars. All of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You know what he's really saying? More trouble is on the way. Look at your neighbor and say, more trouble is on the way. It's like Jesus just stops in the middle of this message and begins to contemplate on what he's getting ready to say next. And I want to paraphrase this because I believe he's saying, with all that is going on in the world in which we live and that you're hearing about, see that you be not troubled. And the Apostle Paul says the same thing in 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, speaking of the false teachers and the false preachers of his day and the deceivers that would be alive. And with the people, he says, and they were the bunch of people that said, well, the resurrection is past. It's like people today, well, we're not going to have a rapture. Do you really believe that Jesus is coming? One group of people, the meek shall inherit the earth. I don't want nothing this earth has. So they believe this is it. I'm saying that this is it, we're in trouble. So Paul says, now we beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in your mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor word nor or of letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. This is the Lord speaking. This is what Paul's saying, Jesus is saying. Let no man deceive you. The word there is tropos in the Greek. And it means, listen, what he's saying, let no man come and deceive you by putting a spin on something that's being said. Or writing some kind of a paper. I remember 1988 when Edgar Winsnett wrote 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Going to Return in 88. And beloved, the saints of God had their pets euthanized. They went out and yanked their 401ks and their money and spent every penny that they had. Believers in Jesus did that. Now, don't you tell me that there's not people listening to me this morning that would not believe something like that if that voice came. That's what Paul is talking about. They're going to put a spin on stuff. They're going to put a spin on it. They're going to paint a picture to you. Or they're going to say something. Some university is going to begin to change the way that they believe, and they're going to teach students they're more than one gender. You can have same-sex marriage. You can ordain homosexuals to preach the gospel. Now, you listen to me. This goes on right now. Somebody say right now. Right now, right now, right now. And he's talking about they paint this picture in the minds of people and captivate their thoughts. So Paul is simply warning us not to follow some slick individual or teaching that will lead people astray. Because listen to what Paul says next in 2 Thessalonians. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So Paul is continuing his thought, informing his readers that the man of sin of the Antichrist is going to be someone who is going to be so convincing, so flattering, so slick-tongued, have such a charismatic personality, somebody that seems to have all the right answers, and there's going to be multitudes that follow him. I remember several years ago we had a president, Barack Obama, and I'll mention his name this morning because he's kind of out of the scene, but yet he's in the scene more than you understand. He had every characteristic of the Antichrist. He was not the Antichrist. I told my wife when he came out and was running for presidency, I said he has every characteristic of the Antichrist, and we're going to look at him and people are, and they're going to say there is no way that this man can be president of the United States. But you know what? He was voted in. Don't you ever think or be naive enough. You need to understand that this world is trending toward the Antichrist, and it is running at 120 miles an hour toward it. And so Paul is telling us, he said, look, don't you be deceived by people putting a spin on things, because if they can control the mob of people that are in the world, if they control the youth, if they can control the young adults, if they can control people in the world can do pretty much what it wants to do. And all it takes is an Antichrist anointing to deceive people. Well, everybody else is doing it. And they said that it was all right. And, you know, they said that on the news. And, they, you know, that person there, they've got a PhD. And you know, this that person there, they're smart. And they did this. Let me tell you something. The Bible calls them morons. Moros in the Greek. God said they're morons. He says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. From such turn away. Now listen to me. Listen to me. This is important. And so, an antichrist is someone who is opposed to the teachings of Jesus. What do you mean? Simply the opposite. Are you listening to me? Amen. The Bible says many, everybody say many. Many will follow. Many, many, he said many, except they're coming falling away first. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. This is what the scripture says. Many, they will defect. This is what the Greek says. They will defect, they'll forsake what they once believed or what once was truth for the lying deception of the spirit of Antichrist. So it's the same teaching that Jesus taught. Be not deceived. Look at your neighbor and say, do not be deceived. And then Jesus starts up again. He said, you're going to hear of wars. You're going to hear rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Don't be frightened. Don't be alarmed at these things. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. And then he starts over. He said, for nation shall rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. He's talking about ethnic groups. He's talking about kingdoms. There shall be pestilence. We just went through one a couple of years ago. A pestilence. Somebody say pestilence. There shall be earthquakes in different places. And I can tell you now that there are going to be devastating earthquakes that may come this year, but shortly they're coming and they're going to devastate major cities. Listen to me. And there's some other kind of virus that's brewing. You can bank on that the enemy is going to try to release, because Jesus Christ, everybody say Jesus, said it. We can preach it ain't going to happen. We can preach I don't believe it. But if Jesus said it, he's the truth. And he'll make us out to be liars. Somebody say, it will come to pass. And then he says something interesting. All of these are the beginning of sorrows, just the birth pains until the end. With everything that you see, it's going to get more intense. Somebody say more intense. And so this is an interesting verse in the Greek language, because when he's speaking here, he's talking about there shall be many false prophets. There'll be many people that are lawless, and they will, you know, and it'll cause the love of many to wax cold, because this iniquity shall abound. Because what happens in church, the same thing that happens in voting time. Listen to me. I might as well shove this on in here too. I know where I'm going. Just hang on. Because when we hear it and we hear it and we see it and we see it and we hear it and we hear it, we get sick of it and don't want anything to do with it. And then we just say, I'm just not going to fool with it. I'm not going to vote. I'm just not going to do anything. Well, to do that is sin. Because to him that knoweth to do right, we have a civic duty before God that when we can do something good, we need to do it. Somebody say amen. We need to do it. I know some people don't like that, but it's the truth anyway. That's why I'm here. Listen, there shall be many false prophets, many people, many false prophets and teachers that rise up. And because iniquity shall abound, because they're putting spins on things, and painting pictures that are so wonderful and good, and myriads of people are following it. I mean, dear God, man, I mean, you think. Now, I look at our own cities in America, and they're on fire. They burn. They've been trashed. You have thousands of homeless people on the sidewalks. They have, you know, sanctioned or given the freedom and ability. They come out and give the syringes and the dope to the people to take. If anybody can't see, that's trouble in the earth. But the people that are involved in that bondage, They think it's the most wonderful thing in the world. If they didn't, they wouldn't be living on the sidewalk. See, that's what I'm telling you. That's dense darkness. We need a move of the Holy Ghost that can light up their eyes so that they can see what they're in, the hell that's in their lives and what the devil is trying to do to them. We need God to come to the church and to move through us as believers. Now listen, listen. So this is an interesting verse in the Greek language because it's a primary verb that he uses here about the love of many waxing cold. And so it means to breathe voluntarily. Everybody say, well, I breathe voluntarily. But it's talking about you're sucking in the world's air voluntarily. You're breathing on the life that the world gives. Listen, it's not the forcible thing. Somebody's making you breathe. It is, the language is telling us is that we do it willingly. We're just sucking in the air of the world. We're breathing in the world. And so it's simply breathing, the Greek says, but not alive. We sang it this morning. I was breathing, but not alive. The dead, the walking dead. Are you hearing me? I become so numb and so adept to the things that are going on in the world that nothing bothers me anymore, that I've seen it. My God, I mean, you talk about 60, I heard the statistic yesterday, 68 million babies aborted. If that doesn't cause you to want to bow your head in the presence of God and fear and tremble for our nation, something's wrong. See, but we have grown cold to the facts that really exist in life. And they were showing one in particular thing, and I really appreciate Daystar Network doing this because I had no idea that they were going to show it. But they had one infant. They showed its face. They showed that it was fully matured. They showed the heartbeat, and they showed that apparatus that went in and sucked that baby right out. That life was gone. That family was gone. That nation was gone. My God, do you understand? That's where America's at right now. We're wrestling on that. Some people hinge the whole election on that one thing. That's amazing to me. But he says it's voluntarily breathing. The love of many waxing cold. And so it's like a steady breeze that blows over you constantly, continually, until you become so cool down and apathetic toward everything that's going on in the world that nothing bothers you anymore. You sit in the house, you say, I just changed the channel. I'm just not going to watch it. Just going to forget it. But God wants you to pray about it. Somebody say, pray about it. But then in verse number 14, he gives the main sign. Somebody say, things are getting ready to shift. Things are getting ready to shift. The most powerful sign. The most powerful sign. And he says these words. And this gospel. Somebody say, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This has to happen. Somebody say, this has to happen. Preached as a witness in all the world, and then shall the end come. So this is the number one job of every born-again Christian today, right here, what we're talking about right now. You see, the storm clouds of the evening are quickly gathering around us, and the ripening grain in the fields is laying there, but it's going to be swept into the darkness unless the church rises up and does something about it. See, the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached as a witness. Somebody say, a witness. In other words, the apostle is talking about, and Jesus is telling us, it has to be preached as a witness. You've got to demonstrate that what I said is true. Do you understand this morning that Jesus is saying, if I'm in heaven, am I right at the right hand of the Father? And if I really rose from the dead, then I want you to understand when I tell you, go in my name and cast out the devil, raise the dead, heal the sick, and you cleanse the lepers, that I'm going to do it because it is a witness that I have risen and I'm alive and I'm coming again. And the world needs to understand who I am, what I said, and that it is the truth. Somebody say amen. So I hope this morning that as I'm preaching to you over the next few minutes, that the fire of God is going to melt your heart today, and that you're going to come alive in Jesus, and you're going to breathe in the air of heaven and the air of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to be strengthened in your inner man today, and you're going to make the biggest turnaround that you've ever made spiritually to see souls born into the kingdom of heaven. See, the church needs a realignment with the Great Commission. The church needs a new focus on the harvest before them today. The task is great, but God has sent the Holy Ghost to help us out. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, but I lean upon him. Hosea 4 and 6 says, it is not by might, it is not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Remember, Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I go not away, then the spirit cannot come. But I'm glad today that he's at the right hand of the Father and the Holy Ghost has been poured out. And so here I am as a believer. I have received that baptism of the fire of God, and I want to be used of him to be a witness in this hour. Somebody say amen. See, Jesus' purpose for sending his disciples out to preach the gospel of the kingdom was that he wanted people to know, when you preach my name, demons are going to scream out, and they're going to come out because you command them to. You're going to lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. He's talking about you guys. Lay your hand on somebody and say, be healed this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, be delivered in the name of Jesus. See, there's more power in that name than you realize, because all of heaven backs up that name today. And Jesus says, go in my name. And when you cast out a demon, you're going to do it because of my name. When you heal the sick, you'll do it in my name. When you break poverty's back, it's because of my name. Somebody say amen. And so he's telling us, he said, the believer is to be endued with the power from on high. Oh, God in heaven. See, it's talking about being endued with the supernatural boldness and fire to go out in the midst of an unbelieving and rebellious world that is absolutely dark and void of understanding of what this scripture says. So we're living in a time, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you just took for granted, well, everybody's been in Sunday school, everybody's heard the word, everybody knows what the scripture says. But I want to tell you something. The reason that we see what's going on in our world is because the church has a great deficit, a deficit of knowledge that has been poured into young people. We need to pour into everybody that we possibly can the truth of the scripture. Somebody say amen. We wouldn't have the gender confusion we have today if the church had been doing its job. We wouldn't have the same-sex marriage today if the people of God had been doing their job. Come on, somebody. So in light of everything that we do, that we preach and that we teach, you got to understand that when our kids or individuals are in this world, they're being greatly influenced. Well, I just tell you right now, I wouldn't listen to that stuff. I'd never do that. You lay out of church. My God, 30 years ago, people wouldn't lay out of church. If you had a Sunday night service, they'd be there. And they'd be praying. People today do what they said that they wouldn't do 20 years ago. See, if Satan could deceive a third of the angels into following him from heaven, this is the kind of spirit that we're dealing with right now. This demonic power is after you. It's after your children. It's after your husband. It's after your wife. And you can't take for granted that this foul thing is not creeping into your house and weaving itself into the fabric of your family in any way that it possibly can. I challenge you today. Find out what your kid is listening to. Get on that phone that you put in their hand and find out what they're doing, who they're texting, who they're talking to. Stop the devil before he gets another foothold. Come on, somebody. We need to find out the information that the enemy is pouring into a society. But more than that, we need to step up and say, wait a minute. I'm not tolerating that. I'm not putting up with it. I am a Christian. I walk a different walk. I talk a different talk. And in the name of Jesus, I'm not following that pernicious way. Somebody say, not going to do it. Listen. When Jesus is speaking here in verse number 14, this gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. He's talking about making believers capable of giving proof of their testimony with signs, wonders, and miracles. Remember, Jesus commissioned his disciples, commanded them. He said, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he saying? That when I go to individual and I'm witnessing to them, I have the ability to say to them, do you want to stay sick? Because if you don't, the kingdom is at hand right now. And I can get you healed in Jesus' name. I can break this bondage out of your life by the authority that Jesus Christ has given me. I can pray for you and get you delivered. Not because of what I said, but because of what he said. Somebody say amen. Healing the sick, cleansing the lepers. Raising the dead. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Did you freely receive salvation? Did you freely receive the things that Jesus promised you? Yes, somebody say, yes, I did. He said, if you freely received it, freely give it away. Because if you give it away, it will increase. Somebody say it will increase. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come near you. He said, go say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here right now. God is handing you a gift. Who is it? It's me to you. Somebody say, I just can't say that. Well, you need to. You need to understand who you are. You're not who you used to be. The old man is dead. I'm not talking about your daddy. Somebody say, the old man is dead. So you need to understand who you are, number one, because the world is in the darkness that it's in because it's waiting for the people of light to show up. You've got to go let your light shine before the children of men that they can see your, what? Good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, your good works is more than you smiling at people and telling them that Jesus loves them. It's walking into their drug-infested life and grabbing that devil by the nape of the neck and commanding it to loose its hold on them. It is walking into that keg party and preaching Jesus and getting them delivered. It is praying for that person that's immoral and seeing the power of God snap the chains of it. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Listen. See, right here, right now, today, in this world, in this county, in this nation, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in power of the Spirit of the living God, being confirmed with signs following and diverse kinds of miracles that God gives through the Holy Spirit, it produces results. Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness. See, this word witness in the original Greek means something evidential. I like this. With proof, with evidence. You see, when John's disciples were sent to ask Jesus, are you the Christ or not? Are you the anointed one? Are you this guy that Isaiah talked about that would bind the brokenhearted up and set at liberty the bruised and open the prison of them that are bound? Are you the one that he was talking about would they give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness? He sent back and told them, he said, you go tell John this, that the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised to life again and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What's he saying? There's evidence out there that the gospel is going to produce that when people see that you preached and people receive me, they come out of poverty, their sickness leaves their life, they are delivered and they look different and sound different because they've been changed by the power of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Somebody say, I am a son of God, a daughter of God. You see, when John's disciples saw that, it changed things. They were sent with the same anointing of Jesus. And we have that same anointing today. In Acts 10 and 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were hard-pressed or oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In Acts chapter number 8, we read the story, and this is one of my favorites in the scripture. We read the story about Philip, the Bible said, who went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, if you know anything about Samaria, you know, it was part of the southern kingdom. The kingdom had been split. And so Samaria, the Jewish people and the Samaritans just did not get along. But let's go back in history just a little bit, because with the Samaritans, after the Assyrians invaded them, even after they were split from the Jewish people, the Assyrians invaded them and they intermarried with the Samaritans. And they brought their worship of false gods and idols and immorality into the Samaritan land. And so the Samaritans picked up the same practice, and they sacrificed their children to devils, and they worshiped idols, and they did all of these things. You see, under Jeroboam, he's the one that took that golden calf and put it up in the mountain. And instead of, he said, your brethren, the Israelites, the Jewish people, he said, they're down here and said, they're worshiping at the temple, but I put a golden calf up here for you to worship. But, and they followed that and they did it. We learn the story of Jesus and the woman at the Samaritan well. Remember that encounter that he goes to her and she's drawing water. He says, give me a drink of water. And she said, you mean you're a Jewish man and you're asking me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink of water? He said, lady, if you knew who it was asking you for a drink, you would ask me for a drink. And he said, if you will drink the water that I'm offering to you, you shall never thirst again. And so here Samaria is. The church has been birthed in Acts chapter number 2. The church is under persecution. It has been broken out and sent out in every direction because they're scattered now. But the Bible said that they went out and preached the kingdom of God. And so the Bible said that Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto the people. Now you got to get this. Everybody say, Philip was my prototype. I'm supposed to be just like Philip. God used me like you did Philip. Now get this, because this is important. Everybody say, Philip. Philip. He went down to Samaria, and I like this because when you go somewhere and you're going to reach people that are in the world, it's going down. But he was an up man going down. He went down into Samaria, began to preach the message of Christ to them, and the Bible said, somebody say, the Bible said. The Bible said that in the midst of this stronghold of Samaria, where there was occultism, where there was demonic activity, where there was idolatry, he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people. And as he began to preach, the Bible said that the people gave consent with one accord. Why? In seeing and believing the signs and the wonders that Philip did in the midst of them. For the Bible said in verse number 7 of Acts chapter number 8, listen to what happened. For unclean spirits, as he began to preach, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And so they began to get delivered because Philip was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Somebody say, the gospel of the kingdom. See, the devil tells us, I said, you can't do this. He tries to intimidate us. He tries to put fear on us. When you go out and you begin to tell people about Jesus, or just go out there and witness in the darkness that's out there right now, he tries to stop you, because he understands that the moment that you catch this revelation and you go and preach the kingdom to the people, that the devil is going to come out of people. Sinners are going to get set free. The kingdom is going to be advanced. God is going to be glorified and exalted, and your life is never going to be the same again. Somebody clap your hands and say amen right there. Oh yeah. But this is what I want you to get. What was the result of when he went and preached and all of these things happened? The Bible said in verse number 8, and there was great joy in the city. I can tell you how to get Chicago turned around, or Michigan turned around, or Virginia turned around, or the church turned around, is that we need the manifestation and the demonstration of the power of Almighty God to come, to set the captive free. Somebody say amen. Because when that begins to happen, what happens? Great joy breaks out in the city. See, what I'm telling you this morning, if it's my son or your daughter that gets delivered and the power of God sets them free, you're going to be joyful in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. I want to say, what would you do if God came along and set your child free? broke the back of that bondage, or set your spouse for your husband or your wife. What would you do if he saved your mom or your dad? Wouldn't you begin to rejoice and praise the name of the Lord? Somebody say amen. I would praise him. Matter of fact, I'm going to praise him anyway. I'm going to give him a down payment on my praise. Hallelujah. He's worth it. Somebody say he's worth it. Like I tell you this morning, you've heard me say it a million times. I'll say it one more time because I want the devil to hear it. I'm on a loudspeaker. Devil, you're not having my son in the name of Jesus Christ. You get your filthy hands off of him. God is going to turn his life around, save his soul. In Jesus' name. Wow. It produces joy. I said it produces joy. My God, see, we need to say, Jesus, this is what you said about me. You said, Lord, if I would preach the gospel of the kingdom, if I would say the kingdom of God is at hand, and if I would go in your name, that you would set the captive free, that the devil would be driven out, that the sick would be healed, and those in bondage would be loosed. And I'm asking you right now, clothe me with that power from on high. Fill me up, God. I'm not talking about a little trickle or something that makes me just heketeshe once in a while. I want something that's going to be like a roaring lion that comes out of my innermost being so that I can pounce on what the enemy's doing and take him out in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. My God. Listen to what the Bible says. See, that is the witness that is produced when you preach the gospel. It is the witness that produces the evidence in the court of law that wins. This is a legal thing. If we produce the evidence, we win. Somebody say we win. In Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 3, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? See, the gospel is the evidence. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Jesus was approved by God, of God, by miracles, signs, and wonders. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, said this, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. I could tell you and promulgate any esoteric cogitations of your platitudinous sentimentalities and lose you altogether. Or I could just simply say, repent, be baptized, and you shall be saved, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, that's kingdom preaching. Because when Christ comes, somebody say, when Jesus comes, he's going to change things. He said, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, the early church, somebody say the early church, the first church, went forward and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. When they came into a city, it was said of them in Acts chapter number 17, verse number 6, these that have turned the world upside down have came here also. Do you understand what kind of refreshing news that is? Because you got government, Big Brother with his hand out giving you more dope, wanting to legalize pot so that everybody can be stoned. And so it's worse than a drunk driver coming down the road in a weaponized vehicle. Now they're going to get stoned out of their brain. There's going to be more of them than we've ever seen before unless people vote right. Come on, somebody. Listen. All of a sudden, because the government says it's okay, put the spin on stuff. Are you listening to me? Put the spin on. See, you need to know what your Bible says. The Bible talks about that whore of Babylon, and everybody's drunk on her wine. It's talking about everybody is drinking the same wine, listening to the same lie. Everybody has been convinced of the same with the same deception because of this spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. Wow. And so they came from. Can you imagine what it would be like? And this is happening in lots of cities with a team of people full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Like Brother Hughes is getting ready to go to Columbia him and his team getting ready to get out of here on Wednesday. Next Thursday. Getting ready to get out of here on the 13th. Can you imagine what that's like? Man, there's no greater feeling than when you get off an airplane, you got all those people on that particular continent or from that particular nation that are looking at you, and they're all smiles because they look at you like a fresh drink of water. You've come to my nation to drive the devil out. You've come to pull down the strongholds of Islam. You've come to pull down the strongholds of drug addiction and prostitution and child trafficking. You've come to my city and to my nation to pull down this evil demonic powers that are here. Oh, how we've been waiting for you. It's like the Macedonian cry in the Bible. Come and help us. I want to tell you, God is looking for you to show up in somebody's life or somebody's neighborhood or somebody's situation, that you come in the name of Jesus like a refreshing drink of water and say, look, I am a son of the living God. I'm not just a natural man. I'm a supernatural man, anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. And I'm here today in Jesus' name. And I'm going to calm your fears, bind this devil, drive it out of your life. Going to see you get healed in Jesus' name. And your life is going to radically change. And when you get changed, don't you pussyfoot around and mess around and act like you don't know what to do. You go find somebody else to get delivered in Jesus' name. Now clap your hands. Every time you clap your hands, like Brother Lowry used to say, he said, you're cracking devil's heads. Wow. Like one man said, how can we call ourselves a church and not believe in healing miracles? God touched these knotheads that teach cessationalism. Cessation. The gifts of the Holy Ghost are not for today. Miracles and signs and wonders are not for today. The fivefold ministry is not for today. God help them. That was for the Bible days. Well, what the world do you think we're living in? My God, I'm about to come out of them up here trying to maintain myself. How can we call ourselves a church, one man said, and not believe in healings and miracles? I can't turn four pages in the Bible without encountering miracles, he said. What kind of Bible would we have without Moses holding out the rod over the Red Sea and God sending that wind to divide the waters so that millions of Israelites could cross on dry ground? Come on, and then drown the army of the Pharaoh. What kind of Bible would we have if we didn't have the power of God giving water from a rock or manna from heaven to feed those multitudes that were out in the wilderness? Come on, somebody. What kind of Bible would we have if we didn't have the story of Elijah calling down fire from heaven when the prophets of Baal were consumed and taken out by the people of God? Come on now, somebody, talk to me. What kind of Bible would we have without Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrew children that were in the fire and the fourth man showed up? What kind of Bible would we have without Elisha multiplying the oil for a woman with her and her son that were getting ready to go out and to die because of starvation and economic disaster? What kind of Bible would we have if it didn't tell us the story in 2 Kings chapter number 13, that when Elisha's bones were bleaching in the sand, that there were two men that had a body, a corpse with them, and they spied the enemy coming, and they threw him on the bones of Elisha, and the Bible said that he revived and stood up on his feet. I don't know about you, but I need to know that my bones can raise the dead. What kind of Bible would we have? What kind of gospel would we be preaching without Jesus calling out by a man by the name of Lazarus who'd been dead 4 days? Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said that he came bound hand and foot, and they loosed him. Jesus told them to loose him and let him go. What kind of Bible would we have with that blind Bartimaeus being healed? The woman with the issue of blood being cured by touching the hem of his garment. That woman who had been bound of a spirit of infirmity for 38 long years being made straight in an instant of time when Jesus said, woman, you are loosed. Why? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Come on, somebody. What kind of gospel would we have if we didn't have the story of the Gadarene demoniac? If you understand the story that Jesus said, let's go to the other side. He was going across that sea and he was commanding the devil. He knew who was over there. I command you, Satan, to loose this man. You're going to come out of him. I'm coming to set him free. I command you, Satan, you come out of this man. You're not going to bind him any longer. And the Bible said that a great storm came up in the midst of his traveling there. And if you understand the Greek language, it is called a megas storm. That means that there was an earthquake in the bed of that sea. It was demonically controlled, trying to take Jesus out because the devil wanted that man that he'd been holding bondage that had 2,000 spirits in him. He didn't want anybody setting that man free because he was living in the graveyard. He was naked and he was cutting himself. It sounds like today's generation, doesn't it? But Jesus is on the way. I've got a word for the world right now. The church is on the way. You better look out, devil, because we're coming in the name of Jesus. We're rising up in the name of Jesus. And we're not going to be turned around or set down or cooled off or be made dormant. We're rising up to put you out, cast you out in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! But Jesus got up. I said, Jesus got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and there was a great calm. Oh, come on. I believe that there's some believers that are getting ready to go to some places that are stormy, and you're going to say, peace be still, and it's going to lay down in Jesus' name. My God. What kind of gospel would we have without the 10 lepers being cleansed, the demoniac being set free, the storms being calmed, or Jesus walking on the water? I'm going to tell you what we would have, just another religion. But I'm going to tell you, it's not another religion. He's alive. He's well. He's the King of Kings, the captain of our salvation. He is on our side, and the devil is dead meat in Jesus' name. So clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, you might as well stand up. Jennifer, come on up. I'd never finish this. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hey, come on, somebody. See what I'm telling you. It's one thing for a preacher to get up and preach and people to get excited, but I want you to understand, when I used to sit where you sit and I had a calling on my life, I got up and I went out. I trained many people to go out witnessing. Went out into the highways and hedges and preached the gospel to them. Healed the sick, bound devils and cast them out in Jesus' name. Went into the parking lots, went into the grocery stores, went into the flea markets to tell them about Jesus. Do you know what? The devil doesn't like it, but that's what we need to do now. We've got a great commission we need to be faithful to reach the souls of men. People say, I want a pulpit. I want them. No, you don't want a pulpit. You'll be tied up. I'm to equip you. I'm to get you so stirred up that you can't sit still. What we have in America today is by and large somebody getting up and reading what somebody else wrote. We call that the gospel of the kingdom. No, it's not the gospel of the kingdom. It doesn't set anybody free. Somebody said, well, they got 3,000 members and all of them are asleep. You may have a few, comparatively speaking, that sit there that have the goods. But by and large, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Statistically, those people don't even know Jesus. A lot of them don't. They live like the world, act like the world, do what the world says, go the direction of the world. I want the power that produces the witness. I want the power that produces the witness. Hey, I want that. My God, I used to sit and I'd watch preachers preach. And I mean, I didn't watch just anybody. If I was gonna spend my time watching somebody preach, I want somebody's got it. I'm not going to waste my time on Bobo. I'm not going to waste my time on some limp-handed individual that gets up or somebody that just wants to read to me a little bit. I want somebody that's going to stir this fire up so that I can't contain it. I'm like Jeremiah. I got fire in my bones and I just can't shut up. Amen. What have you got? All right.
Amen. Just that we need to be someone's Philip. We really do. I'm connected to a group, Parents of Prodigals, and this is just a sampling of stuff that I see every day. Church, listen. Listen to the heart of this woman. Today is my prodigal daughter's 29th birthday. Although we talk superficially for the most part, so as not to upset one another, I didn't get to see her. I invited her over twice. Both times she was nice but declined my offer for other plans. Of course, those are with her lesbian partner. Now listen. She's proceeding with a divorce. My grandsons and son-in-law are heartbroken. I am heartbroken. Her dad the same. But we've moved forward. We pray. It's all we know to do. But this year, more than so many years past, I keep replaying her birth in my mind. How glorious it was. She was a miracle. For I had trouble conceiving. I had already had lost a child to ectopic and nearly died myself. I miss that little girl. The one who went to church. Who said prayers with me. Who needed me. I pray with tears in my eyes that she comes back to her Lord. That she turns away from her sinful life. That she realizes how much I and her Savior love and need her. This is thousands that I can read daily. Church, if you don't realize something is totally messed up. He mentioned a former president, and when that former president lit up the White House in rainbow colors, that spewed something in this nation. Now that released something, and it's still being released. Church, we have got to be a fill-up to somebody. We have got to take the prayer time serious and get these young people free. Too many ministers' kids are going this way. Too many. I can name them. And don't say once they're in that, they can never come out. That is a lie. Oh, yes, they can. With no residue. So be someone's fill-up. Hear the heart cry of parents today because they are out there by the thousands.
That's exactly right. So today, this is what I want to do. I want us to, we're going to come to this altar. We're going to pray for as many as we can. And Brother Sister Hughes, you know, prayer people, we want to pray for people. We want you to come down. We're going to lay hands on you today. Quickly, very quickly, just come on down. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. Amen. Amen. Ah, Jesus.